While disaster workers were still carving out roads and washed away mountainsides after Hurricane Helene, some national attention focused instead on misinformation in the region. BPR senior regional reporter Lily Connett peeled back the layers. She spoke with news director Laura Lee about what she found.
More than 100 people are dead from Helene, a number that's still expected to rise.
Now, some of you have reached out to us about rumors specific to Chimney Rock. Now, some of the misinformation online says government officials are seizing people's property. There are also rumors bodies are, quote, everywhere in the town and not being recovered.
Really, it hit a boiling point over the weekend when National Guard troops that were in western North Carolina encountered what the Washington Post described as armed militias that said they were out there hunting for FEMA.
You know, everybody says, well, why didn't they evacuate? Why didn't they prepare? It's like telling people in Florida, prepare for a blizzard.
BPR senior regional reporter Lily Knepp has reported on this and joins me now. Hi, Lily.
Hey, Laura.
So, Lily, let's talk about what we heard in these national reports.
So in the days after Hurricane Helene, you know, as someone who was on the ground here living in western North Carolina and also reporting that this was somehow the people of the region should have just been paying more attention. They should have evacuated more. You know, the focus on misinformation and militias and the tensions with FEMA, instead of trying to get resources to people who didn't have roads, who've lost their homes, was really just perpetuating these Appalachian stereotypes.
And you talked with some Appalachian scholars about those stereotypes and how that was included in part of the coverage during and after the storm. What did you learn from them?
Yeah, I talked with Meredith McCarroll, who studies Appalachian stereotypes. She wrote a book called Unwhite: Appalachia, Race, and Film in 2018, and talks about how the region has been othered as, you know, a majority white population area that's very much unclaimed by the rest of the country and kind of discussed as a really backwards place with different ideals. And she saw these stereotypes being presented in this coverage after Helene. And, you know, she's from Haywood County, which was hit by Helene, and her son actually ended up working with FEMA after the storm. He was taking a course and ended up serving on a FEMA strike team. And so she ended up telling him about this context for these discussions.
What I found myself wanting to tell my son was the history of the government coming in and taking land for things like building national parks and removing people from the land, to say nothing of the native people who were here before settlers.
Meredith brought up the fact that FEMA, you know, did have to briefly pause door-to-door operations after there were these rumors that there was an armed militia headed to threaten FEMA workers. And it ended up one man from Rutherford County was arrested, and those operations quickly resumed. And for her, that story was really a marker of these stereotypes.
That story, I believe, just got totally blown out of proportion. I think that very quickly FEMA was able to return, and thankfully nothing actually happened. And it was a very small, not representative group of people that were resistant to FEMA. And yet that story really took off, both because it's, you know, a wild story that someone would be resistant to FEMA. But also, I think it took off because it matches up with the stereotype of people from the mountains.
And here at BPR, we reported on that story, other stories about militias and mistrust of the federal government coming into the region. But that some of that mistrust, Lily, comes from a real history in the region. Tell us what you learned about that.
That's right. I talked to Annette Sanook Clapsaddle. She's a member of the Eastern Band of Cherokee. She wrote award-winning novel, Even As We Breathe. She talked a lot about, you know, as a member of the Eastern Band, the federal government's role in that. You know, during the Removal Act, the federal government killed at least 4,000 people on the Trail of Tears. And that was something that happened without the unanimous support in the government. I think that's something that folks forget sometimes. She explained that in 1832, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the states did not have the right to impose these regulations on Native American land. And despite that ruling, then President Andrew Jackson went forward with the removal anyway.
Even though, you know, one branch of federal government was opposed to removal, the other branch did not care and did it anyway, right? So this mistrust that even our systems in place of checks and balances have not historically always played out. And I think now in the climate that we're in, there's so much challenge to that rule of government now anyway.
For Annette, you know, that kind of challenge to the rule of government also takes place on her grandfather's side of the family. His home actually sits at the bottom of Fontana Lake. If you don't know about the history of far western North Carolina, the significance of building the Fontana Dam in the early 1940s in Swain County, you know, really was seen as a sacrifice to the county. The Tennessee Valley Authority, you know, talked about being able to bring energy and electricity to the region, but folks gave up their homes and they're no longer there. They were paid for that, but, you know, it's arguable about if that was fair. And, you know, another piece of this is the federal government's promise to build a road to the graves that were covered up by that lake. And that road, you've probably heard of, Laura, is the road to nowhere. It was never finished. And that debt was just paid in 2018, very recently. The county had never been paid for that road. Annette says that really has an impact on the way that she thinks about her connection to Appalachia.
Having on both sides of my family history, this removal of families from homes, of property taken, is something that is always going to be with me and always sits with me.
So that was Annette Clapsaddle talking about how both sides of her family have seen land taken by the federal government, some of it paid for. How unique is that experience, Lily? Do we see this happening across the region?
Yeah, you know, if you look at the history in Western North Carolina, you know, this isn't just about the dams that were created in the 1920s and 30s. You know, the U.S. Justice Department talks about a flurry of land acquisition cases as part of the New Deal. And, you know, I think one of the pieces we don't really like to talk about is that that's how the Great Smoky Mountains National Park was created. There used to be over 5,000 people who lived on the land that's now the park, and they, you know, deeply resented being forced out. And I talked with Annette about that balance of loving the parks, but understanding that that used to be someone's home.
Let's take a listen to that.
I love living so close to trails and all these wonderful things. And then on the other hand, I'm sometimes on these trails and see these remnants of displaced families and think, wow, you know, people gave up their lives for this.
Lily, so that is a lot of the context around some of the issues that relate to FEMA and some of the ways issues in the area have become politicized. What are the takeaways for you from this reporting?
You know, when we're talking about perpetuating Appalachian stereotypes after Helene, you know, so many of these reports even now are just talking about this culture of independence and mountain people don't want to take FEMA money. And it just goes so far beyond that I think that that's such an important thing to be talking about as folks are still trying to rebuild their lives. And one of the things I talked about with Annette and with Meredith McCarroll was just how much the community across the whole region really stepped up after Helene to help each other and work together and show those other Appalachian traits of community and taking care of your neighbors. And so that's really what they wanted to focus on at the end of the day. But ultimately, this politicization has had really real consequences. I mean, we've seen reporting that only about 15% of households in North Carolina have applied for FEMA assistance. And so when we're talking about why it matters that the national media and politicians are focusing on this in the aftermath of a disaster, the worst time in some of these people's lives, there are real consequences.
Lily, it's always great to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Laura.
And that was BPR News Director Laura Lee talking with Senior Regional Reporter Lily Knapp about the history and context behind the lack of trust following the storm. You can read the full story at bpr.org.